If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the word of our God. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. In the Gospel of Mark, if you will turn with me to chapter 10, we will begin reading in verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The grass withers, the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing as we consider this passage out of Mark chapter 10. Father in heaven, we do come before you and we do thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Would you pray, O Lord, for your grace and the work of your Spirit this morning, that truly you would open our eyes and enable us to see these wonders that are found in this portion of your word. Grant unto us, O Lord, that we may have receptive hearts, that truly we would not have hard hearts or stiff necks, but soil that receives readily the word and the water. And that truly fruit would abound to our account and to your glory. Speak, Lord, for your servants have gathered to listen. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are a number of things that we take for granted until you lose it. Have you ever stopped and considered how important your eyesight is? How important is it to see? Consider for a moment what we take for granted. Yesterday, as I was preparing the sermon, I walked outside of this building, and as I stood and looked up into the sky, I saw the beautiful blue sky, the white clouds. At night, looking up into that same sky, the bright stars, the moon, the beauty that is there for a blind person is irrelevant. One born blind has never experienced that. The beauty of the green grass, of the leaves moving in the wind, of birds flying in the air, the beauty of the countenance, the face of your loved one. The ability to live, to move, and to have our being to a large degree is based upon the ability to see. To be able to drive to work. To be able to work. Yes, there are those that do travel to work that are blind. Yes, but you are not, at least none of that I know here, are of them. You have the ability to move about, to work. You can enjoy recreation, entertainment. We freely move about, spending this gift without even a thought. How often do you thank God that you can see? Do you take that into consideration? So often, we take it for granted until we lose it. In our story this morning, we have a man who intimately knows what it's like to not be able to see. And as we consider this poor, blind Bartimaeus, his identity is tied up with his blindness. Everybody knew him as blind Bartimaeus. As we consider this poor, wretched man, I want you to remember another man that had just approached Jesus not too long previously, who was rich, young, and a ruler, who had his eyes, sight, who comes running to Jesus and asks, "What must I do to be saved?" When Jesus speaks to him concerning what he needs to do, which is basically to give up all, he cannot do that and walks away greatly grieved. Consider the rich young ruler in contrast to blind, poor and blind Bartimaeus. We, you and I, like the rich young ruler, would find it extremely difficult to give up our ability to see if Christ required it. Wouldn't it? Would you freely give up your eyesight? It would be very difficult. If Christ required, like the rich young ruler, to give up your eyesight, would you? That would be difficult. Call. And yet, unless we come to Christ as blind Bartimaeus, we will go away. We will leave Christ like that rich young ruler. It is on the way to His passion and death in Jerusalem that Christ performed this final miracle. Unlike the rich young ruler, this poor blind beggar could only cry out for mercy. And it was he that received that which he sought. Christ calls those who know and confess that they are poor, wretched, and blind, whose only hope is the mercy of God in Christ. As we consider our text this morning, we find the Lord Jesus Christ traveling out of Jericho, which was approximately 18 miles from Jerusalem, traveling to Jerusalem. As Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem, we understand that the movement occurred with the confession of Peter. The change of Christ's ministry was when Peter declared that thou art the Christ. From that point on, Christ's ministry changed. Number one, he set his face towards Jerusalem. Number two, he prepared his disciples for his imminent death. Here we find the confession of this poor blind man declaring Christ to be the Son of David. We find, though, the focus of Mark and the focus of Christ in his account is that of the individual disciples preparing them, not on those around the multitude. As Christ sets his direction towards Jerusalem, we also have considered that again and again Christ has been confronted by opposition. And in some ways, blind Bartimaeus is set at odds, or maybe comparison would be a better word, or better yet, likening to this opposition. How so? Those that were the leaders of the people, the religious leaders, Jesus declared them to be what? Blind. Blind guides of the blind. And so this passage is ironic in the sense of Jesus declaring the religious leaders as blind heals the blind. Christ had opened the eyes of his disciples and blinded the eyes of the unbelievers, especially the religious leaders. Now, as he draws near to Jerusalem, having set his face like flint, as he had declared in verse 45, he has come to give his life a ransom for many. His compassion drove him toward Jerusalem. And yet, in the focus of his life's work, he is aware of the needy around him. His mercy is declared in this act, and we will consider that. As we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, there is another person here in the story, and that is this fellow, blind Bartimaeus. Charles Spurgeon, referring to this account, said the following of this man. This man is a picture of what we would fain have every seeker of Christ to become. Now, thanks a lot. What did Charles Spurgeon just say? I wish that each of you would become blind and poor. What a nice thing to say. Is that what he meant? Well, he went on to say, in his lonely darkness and deep poverty, he thought and became persuaded that Jesus was the Son of David. It was in his blindness and in his poverty that the light went on and he gained the greatest riches. Dr. Robinson, C.S. Robinson, describes Bartimaeus this way. The state of this poor creature is given at a stroke of the pen. It would be difficult to crowd more biography into one verse than we have in here. He was sightless. He had come to be called by that name, blind Bartimaeus. He was a pauper. Begging was his business. He was a professional beggar. We do not look upon him as one who had gotten behindhand for a little and was out on the street for a day or two until he could get into employment. He sat by the highway side begging. He was helpless. There is no evidence that he had any friends who cared for him. They would have made themselves conspicuous after his cure if there had been many of them. He was hopeless. It was impossible for him to do anything. He could not see to learn a trade. He was unpopular. Anybody had a right to snub him the moment he said a word. He was uneasy and fiercely on the alert to better condition. Though Bartimaeus was blind, unlike the rich young ruler, he used what he had. What did he have? He could not see, but what could he do? And what I hope you're doing right now. Not sleep, right? No. He wasn't asleep, was he? He could hear. The account says that he heard. There came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. What could Bartimaeus do? He could hear. But that wasn't enough. Many people heard. Secondly, he could think. He understood who Jesus of Nazareth was. He had a better insight on who this person was that was walking past him than the greatest theologians of the day. He had applied his mind to, and he was understanding. He had his heart and his mind engaged. He understood that this was the Son of David and declared it so. Thirdly, he had a voice. And he used it. He cried out. Even when he was discouraged to do so, he cried out even louder. And fourthly, he had energy. He was motivated to be heard. Though he cried out, he was discouraged by the passers-by. And what's amazing to think about, who were these people that were passing by that told Bartimaeus to shut up? It was the crowd, yes, but who was in the crowd? The disciples of Christ were among them. And they told him to hold, they charged him to hold his peace. They told him to be quiet. Though he was discouraged, he pressed on in faith. Verse 48. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." No one prompted his seeking. They ignored him, avoided him, like you and I do, don't we? When we are out and about and we see the person sitting on the side of the road with the sign that says, "We'll work for food," which both he and you know that he really won't, right? We avoid those people that come panhandling. We ignore them. So he was. Many opposed his attempts when he did cry to Christ. And it seemed as if Christ himself had taken no notice of him. Christ had not stopped. He was continuing on through the way. He was a blind beggar without anything to commend himself. Though discouraged, he pressed on in faith. And then we understand that the same people that told him to shut up, when Christ called him, turned to him and say, well, in verse 49, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he calleth thee." Even though he was encouraged, yet he still pressed on in faith. Now, wait a second, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He's encouraged, He's encouraged to come, but he's encouraged to come. He still pressed on and pressed his request in faith. Christ had called him. What did blind Bartimaeus do? He arose, we are told. He got up. He was no longer passive. He was hopeful. He cast aside his garment and anything that would hinder him. And in this particular act, I think he shows the contrast between him and the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler was not willing to cast aside his garment for Christ. He would not remove that which would hinder him. Christ specifically pointed out to the rich young ruler that which would hinder him and what he needed to do to cast it aside. The rich young ruler would not. This blind beggar, the only thing he had in life was this garment, this outer garment. It was his house. It was his covering. It was his sleeping bag, if you will. It was everything he had. And he cast it aside. And notice, Mark never says he went back and picked it up. He cast it aside. He removed anything that would hinder him. And he came to Jesus and pled his cause, his case. A simple request. And what does he receive? He receives a double blessing. He received his sight and he received salvation. Now, where did I get that from? Luke chapter 18, in the parallel account, verse 42, Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you." This poor, blind, discarded, rejected beggar did what the rich young ruler could not. He believed Christ, who he was, what he could do, and he followed him in the way. It's interesting as you compare and contrast the conversation of Christ with these two men. In both conversations, Jesus says, "Go thy way." To the rich young ruler, "One thing you lack, go thy way." To this beggar, he states, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee well." He speaks the same, but notice the reaction. Where do they go? The rich young ruler goes his own way to destruction. The beggar goes the way of Christ. He follows Christ. Christ's way becomes his way. So my third point. Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Matthew Henry states concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, that the blind beggar looked to Christ as the trustee, I like that, the trustee of the mercy and grace of God. You ever thought of Christ as a trustee? The trustee of mercy and of grace. So what is the mercy of Christ revealed? How is it revealed in this account? Number one, Christ's mercy is revealed in his stopping what he was doing. He was focused on what he had come to do. Where was he going? He was traveling to Jerusalem. Why? To die on the cross. To accomplish redemption for his elect. For his sheep. And yet he stops. He pauses. He takes a moment. He takes thought of this blind beggar. The cry of this one poor man was of sufficient importance to Christ to stop him in his tracks. The compassion of Jesus Christ in stopping what was important. How important was what Christ was doing? For you and for me, we understand it is essential for our eternal life what He was doing. And yet Christ stopped what He was doing for this poor, blind beggar. His mercy further is revealed in His calling him. The crowd says to the blind man, "Be of good comfort. Rise. He calls thee." The calling of Christ is an effective calling. It is a calling that is one of mercy. Notice thirdly, the mercy of Christ in questioning him. Jesus answered, verse 51, "What will you have me to do? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Christ questions all the time. Throughout the gospel, we have encountered the Lord Jesus Christ and His use of questions. Now, why did He question the man? Did Christ not know what this man wanted? It's pretty obvious to anyone looking that what the man wanted was to be able to see. Why does He ask the obvious question? Because in mercy, Bartimaeus had to say it. Had to confess his need. He questions him. He tests him. And then, in mercy, Christ heals him by touching his eyes? No. By putting things on it? By operating on him? By touching him? No. What does he do? He merely speaks the word. He actually, what does he do? He says, "Thy faith has made thee whole." And as he is saying that, he heals the man. By his very word. But notice also that God has given to him this double blessing. Not only has he healed him, but he confirms God's gift of faith. "Thy faith has made thee whole." The faith, the gift of God, is His faith. "Thy faith has made thee whole." He confirms God's gift of faith to this man. And we read in Luke that this he states of his salvation. And then fifthly, Christ's mercy is also revealed in receiving him as one of his followers. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We see in this passage the mercy of Christ to this man. This same mercy is revealed to you and to I. But do we see ourselves as a blind, wretched, and poor? Or are we like that rich young ruler, self-sufficient in ourselves? Are you poor and blind? Do you understand that like blind beggar Bartimaeus, you are without help and without hope apart from Christ? I have met many people, and I've met many people in church that are self-sufficient, like the rich young ruler. "I have kept all these from my youth. What do I lack? I'm a good person. I keep the law. I go to church." Christ calls blind, poor, helpless people. Do you desire above all else, to be able to see? Blind Bartimaeus desired to see, but more importantly, he desired to see Christ and to follow Him. How about you? Do you desire above all else Is the ability to see the truth of what I'm saying important to you? Blind Bartimaeus was not put off by the crowds, by the opinion of men. He was not hindered by his possessions. He was not hindered even by his inability to see. What was most important to him was Christ. And he cast aside anything that would hinder him. What about you? What is hindering you in following Christ? And there is things that are hindering you. I see it. What is that cloak that God, Christ is calling you to cast aside that is hindering you from following Him? Will you cast, or do you cast, anything that would hinder aside? And do you trust in Christ and in His Word alone for your healing of your blindness? And would you, and do you, follow the Lord Jesus Christ even to a cross? When Jesus spoke to the rich man, after commanding him to give, to sell what he has and give to the poor, He says, "Come, take up the cross and follow me." The young man would not. And yet we find blind Bartimaeus, blind no more, going in the way to the cross. Having found Jesus, Spurgeon said, Bartimaeus kept to Him. He used his sight to see his Lord. He became his avowed disciple. He went with Jesus on the way to the cross, and he remained a well-known disciple whose father's name is given. Notice, the rich young ruler, we never hear of his name. This man, we not only learn of his problem, of his occupation, but we hear his name and his family name. He was a man that was known in this time when the Gospel of Mark was written. He was a disciple that was known. His name was understood. He was a follower. He remained a well-known disciple of Christ. In conclusion, I'd like to read to you the words of Matthew Henry concerning this call, this gift of mercy in Christ. The gracious invitations Christ gives to us to come to Him are great encouragements to our hope that we shall speed well if we come to Him and shall have what we come for. Let the guilty, the empty, the tempted, the hungry, the naked be of good comfort, for He calls them to be pardoned, to be supplied, to be succored, to be filled, to be clothed, to have all that done for them which their case calls for. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we do thank You, O Lord, for sending Jesus Christ and for the mercy shown to this poor blind man. We do acknowledge, O Lord, that we, like Bartimaeus, are blind and are destitute apart from Your grace. Forgive us, O Lord, for what we have taken for granted. Not only the ability to see, but all the blessings that You have bestowed upon us. We do pray that You would forgive us of serving them rather than You. And help us, O Lord, to by faith cleave unto the Lord Jesus, though in the hearing of the ear, may it be that You would touch and heal, remove our blindness, and set our feet on the path, Your way, that our way would be Your way, to take up our cross and to follow Christ. We pray, O Lord, for Your grace. We do thank You, O Lord, for that faith, even faith that You give, is a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet, O Lord, it is a gift that we have, and we can claim as Thy faith, our faith. Grant unto us, O Lord, your grace, that we in that you would strengthen our faith, that we may follow you in the way, and that our name would be identified with Christ all the days of our lives. We ask this now in his name. Amen.